Welcome to Enneagram with JB, a podcast about Enneagram personalities, where you'll uncover and discover more about yourself and others through the helpful tool of the Enneagram. I'm your host, Julie Underwood. Hey, Jackie, I'm so excited about today.
I am so excited about who we have with us. Oh my gosh.
Today, we are talking about chasing dreams with Courtney Barman and fellow Enneagram coach. Hey, Courtney, welcome back.
Thank you. So good to see you guys. This is so fun.
We've missed you so much.
Yeah. Well, likewise. This is so fun.
So Courtney is a marketing major and loves helping leaders, organizations, couples, teams, and individuals function at their highest capacities. Courtney believes that when we know better, we can do better. She is a mother of four kids ranging from 14 years old to 2 years old. She's been married for nearly 20 years to her high school sweetheart, Derek.
Aww, love that.
All right. So Courtney, you and Jackie hosted the Enneagram Conversations podcast together, which some of our audience may remember. And we would love to ask you a few questions that maybe some of our audience members remember the answers to, but we just want to do a quick round robin with you today, if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah.
What is your favorite kind of food?
Okay. I'm not going to do like Mexican or Italian. I like salty, crunchy, cheesy, like all the savory foods are my favorite foods. I have to be very conscious of the other people in my family when I go grocery shopping, because if it were up to me, it'd be like crackers and cheese and dips. And yeah, those are my favorites.
Yeah. My one son is addicted to pretzels. He goes through like five bags of pretzels a week. I'm like, dude, you can't live on pretzels. He's like, I can and I will. What is your fall coffee order? Fall isn't quite here yet, but when it does come, what is your fall coffee order?
Any time of year, I love a vanilla chai with like almond milk. So that's like my favorite. It's like cozy and warm and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Love quick that. Question. What is chai?
Isn't it green tea?
So I am a baby and I do not like coffee. I grew up drinking water. Like I never had soda, never had like coffee. It tastes bitter and it's like too much for my mouth. So chai is like this, it's like warm flavors and it's so good and like cozy and wonderful.
It's like spicy. It's got a little like of a spice to it.
Yes. And depending on where you go, like Starbucks is probably my favorite because it's like mild and sweet. Some places like honest, it's like in your face. Like you gotta tame it a little bit. Okay. But yeah, because you're like an adult and you get like, you know, like a Roosevelt, you get like a good drink. Okay, and good I'm like, coffee. I can't handle the caffeine and I can't handle the bitterness. So for those reasons, I'm out. I have to do like a little baby drink. So that's what I do.
All right. Do you prefer a museum or an amusement park?
Wow. That's a good question. Probably an amusement park, I would think. Yeah. I've been to a lot of kids' museums lately in my life. And an amusement park would be fun to switch it up a little bit.
I just think about how germy kids' museums are. I mean, I've obviously been to them as well. And I'm just like, ooh.
I'm not my best person when I am in them. I'm like, quit touching things. But it's like, that's what it's made for. So it's not great. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, okay, so how long will the stomach bug last when we get home? Okay, great. This will be good.
This is the staph infection exhibit. Enjoy.
Yeah, because you're looking at like all the people and you're like, do you really disinfect? I mean, like, come on. I barely disinfect my house. Like, are you actually disinfecting this like, you know, robot or whatever?
I just have to say, like, I don't think about any of that. That's all I think about. That's all
no,
I think about.
No, I'm like, look at this. Oh my gosh. Read that. How did, like, who what knew? What a gift.
No, I don't think about any. I'm like giving the kids the snacks as they've touched everything and they're putting their hands in their mouth. Like,
irresponsible.
Mine are all big now. They all made it. Just anybody that's listening to this, they all made it.
But yeah, they're going to lick something along the way, and that's just how it's going
to
go.
It's so funny. I love to listen to other people's experiences because we're all so different.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
She crossed her arms. She's like, I don't trust you anymore.
No, not at all. It's like, I wish I was like that. That sounds so amazing to have my mind just to be like, this is great. But instead I'm like, well, I need to call him because I'm probably going to have to be out this week because everyone's going to be sick.
Oh my
gosh. That's where I go.
All right. So the most important question, and some of our audience may actually remember this. What is your Enneagram type?
I am an Enneagram type 8, probably with a 7 wing at my core. But as I get older, I'm realizing that 9 wing is coming out a little bit more than usual.
Okay.
That's cool. I too, as I get older, can see some of that six. I'm a seven wing. I mean, I'm a seven, pretty dominant eight wing. Everybody would say, you're pretty dominant eight. Yes, I am. But the six side, but you guys, not enough to make me cautious at the museum.
At the Jeremy Place.
Right. Yeah, not enough. Not enough, apparently. But Court, I am so excited about our conversation today. I feel like I've got a front row seat to some of the new ventures that you have been chasing the past couple of years. And it's fun to be a friend and an Enneagram coach together. And we have kids around the same age. She's got some a little younger than mine, but still, you know, yeah. It's fun to be doing life together. But before we jump into like the present, what you're chasing today, would you be willing to give us a little bit of a backstory to your life? Like, where did all of this start?
Sure. Yeah. You know, and even as you said that, it wasn't even just that you're like, oh, I get to witness that. You're a huge part of it. The fact that I would have courage to do this. And you're like, you can do this. Come do this thing. It's super fun. So the fact that I am even doing this is a huge, like,
oh, thank you.
Yeah. Direct result of your encouragement. You gave me courage when I needed it. So thank you. I was born and raised in Michigan. Hopefully most of the accent is gone, but you never know. Could still very much be there. I'm the oldest of three kids. I just saw a meme this week that was like, those oldest daughters, those are the meanest men out there. And I'm like, that's right. And so I resonate deeply with that. I played volleyball, was a cheerleader in school, gymnastics, all that kind of stuff. My parents worked really hard. They are from a pretty like blue collar town. They worked really hard after they got out of college, moved us to an area near Grand Rapids, Michigan, with a lot of opportunity, really great like growing up environment, had a lot of opportunities. Met Derek when I was in high school, like I said. We started dating the end of our junior year, took a little break once we got to college, because we kind of just were driving each other crazy, for lack of a better, you know, for lack of a better explanation. And then there I studied marketing, became a Christ follower, there kind of realized like, oh, I can't really do this on my own. So my freshman year, I accepted Christ and then began serving in ministry. I knew I wanted to help people, but I didn't know how to do that. So I just jumped in. And then, like I said, I was talking to my parents. I was like, so I think I really want to help people. What should I do? And they're like, go to business school, keep going. And I'm like, okay, like I shouldn't go to ministry school. So they're like, no, be a mark, do something. Well, finance was out because I had to take that like three times. And same with accounting. So I'm like, how about marketing? That's creative. And so that was fun. And it got my hands wet, feet wet, whatever, in serving in ministry leadership, and really loved that. A lot of people saw leadership gifts in me and were able to like speak that, you know, rather than just kind of like I was talking about, rather than just being bossy or being mean, they're like, oh, you can actually lead and do things. Eventually got back together with Derek. We got married. Shortly after that, we moved to Vegas and both were serving at a church there and just like loved it, which being from the Midwest, you're like, do people even live in Vegas? You know, like, do they live in hotels? What is this situation? This is crazy. But we loved it. We met some of our best friends there. We all had kids the same age, all that kind of stuff. Still close friends to this day. We eventually had to move from there. It was just some difficult staff challenges at the time. It was hard, and went back to Michigan. That was actually harder. You would think like going back home would be easier, but that was really a tricky season. It just kind of felt like we left, you know, all this great stuff that we'd worked really hard for, friendships and career there. So we were kind of in this like desert season in Michigan. Like you would think Vegas would be the desert season, but it was actually kind of coming back to that Michigan. But it prepared us. We went through CR, Celebrate Recovery. We went through some coaching and began to kind of prepare us for what we're doing here. And when we were in Michigan, we got a call about coming to Church of the City here in Tennessee. And we were like, yeah, absolutely. So we moved down here to help lead Church of the City Spring Hill almost 7 years ago, I think, if I'm doing my math right. So since then, that's where we've been. We live just outside of Nashville. I on staff. So I've also been on staff for ministry for almost 20 years, which I'm like, oh, I'm not old enough for that. But yeah, I guess I am. So here we are. But my husband was the lead pastor of that location. And I was kind of like the cleanup crew, like whatever ministry needed help, I would go in and provide leadership and support and all that kind of stuff. We had kids along the way. We had two daughters in Vegas. Two out of my four kids were surprises, which is not great ratio wise. Like, he does only take one time sometimes. So we had two girls in Vegas and then another little guy in Michigan. And then the pandemic, good grief. You know, who didn't lose track of time? So we just had our final little guy about almost 3 years ago.
So Court, as an Enneagram 8, would you describe your younger self as a driver and a dream chaser?
Yeah, I would. I think, you know, I remember some formative conversations, though. Like, I was thinking about this getting ready today. You know, like those defining moments that maybe at the time you wouldn't think they're defining, but you look back and you're like, oh, yeah, that was pretty, like, foretelling. I remember my dad being like, you're not a typical oldest child, you know, because I have dyslexia, so I'm a little bit disorganized. I'm a little bit not your typical, like, type A hard driving person. I'm a little more creative, a little more like whatever. I'm a little bit more undone than perhaps your typical, I don't know, buttoned up firstborn. So sometimes I used to have trouble, and I still do occasionally, like finishing things. Like, I can get 80% of the thing done with like sheer will and hard work, but those 20% of details at the end are like the death of me. So in college, I remember having a conversation with a mentor, and I didn't realize it was a hard conversation until like almost the end, where she's like, so I see all these great things in you, and also like you're not finishing things. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. The flip side of that, though, is like, I'm a really good starter. I'm a really good hard worker. I can see the whole vision. It's just the details for the love. Like, if I can have a little bit of help, like, that's great. But doing it all by myself does get a little overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah.
When I first got married, though, I thought everyone thought like me. Like, I love to dream. It's fun. It's exciting. And Derek and I, we would be out to eat in Vegas because there's like all kinds of great restaurants. And this is like in the middle of the housing crash. Okay. So just for perspective, and he's a one, so he's like very responsible. Our housing value is falling by the moment. And I'm like, I can't wait for the day we have like a second house on the lake or whatever. And he's like, I can't do this. I cannot dream with you. You know, I'm like, okay, fair enough. You know, or I would, you know, like, I can't wait till I'm a famous writer or speaker or whatever. And he's like, but how are you going to do that? You know, and it isn't that he was like crushing them. He's just asking questions and being logical, where it's like, our house is worth half at best of what we have right now. How are we even going to get away from this? And in my head, I'm like, why would you crush my dream? You know, like, to me, that was just normal, like dreaming big dreams. I didn't realize that for some people, that's like a really overwhelming situation. So that's taken a while for us to kind of like figure out, where it's like, oh yeah, Courtney needs this kind of like air, perhaps. And for him, he's like, I give you space and now we can converse. He knows it's not his job to make my dream a reality, so to speak.
It's completely overwhelming for me. When we got married as well, my husband was like a big dream. Like, we're going to have a boat. And I'm like, we're going to have a boat? Like, how are we even paying for groceries this week? Like, what do you mean we're going to have a boat? Like, are we going to live on it? So like, I could not handle, like, now I understand he's just talking, you know, like most of the time it's whatever. But I know a lot of people who love to like look at model homes and like, you know, window shop. I'm like, window shopping is horrible to me. I'm like, if I can't buy it, I'm not going. Like, that sounds so boring and awful and torturous. But yeah, he's totally like you, where he's just like, I have to just say it. I'm like, okay.
And that's like, I'm so thankful to know that, you know, like, not the whole world thinks like me. And it doesn't make me wrong, doesn't make you wrong. It's just like, we're just different that way.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've been talking about chasing dreams. I talked about my story. Julie talked about her story. We talked with Corey from Red Rocks Worship about his story. So talking to you about chasing dreams in the present.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this, because four kids, the youngest being two, the oldest being 14, you're passionate and you're trying to get things done. And it's, how do we get from the 80 to the last 20%, right?
Totally.
So
totally.
Are you willing to talk about some of those experiences, the ups and downs, and some of the even twists and turns that you've had to make over the past couple of years trying to chase this?
Sure. And I think it's really similar to what you just said. Like, I think 80% would be really generous right now, because it is, it feels like a tug of war a lot of times. This is a very real tension that I manage. I just saw, again, I'm not on social media all that often, but I just saw this like blip of a comedy routine where this lady's like, yeah, sure, women can have it all. Just like an all-you-can-eat buffet. Doesn't that feel great? Like, don't you feel great when you leave an all-you-can-eat buffet? You're like, I feel good about myself. And I'm like, that's it. Like, you, it doesn't feel like I can have it all, or even at the same time, at least, you know? And we literally, when we were in Vegas, we would go to like all-you-can-eat buffets. So like, I'm familiar with this feeling of like regret and too muchness. But, you know, I think by nature, I'm really ambitious. Like I have big dreams and I'm really willing to work hard for them. And that's where things get really tricky because first and foremost is my family. Like even on the way here, I'm like, hey, I might be a little late. My son forgot his lunch. And it wasn't like, is that okay? I was like, sorry. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And for me, I honor that.
Yeah.
So well, does Julie. Like we are moms first.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. So for me, a lot of times I have to logic and reason my way through this season, knowing that like this season isn't going to last forever. This, my daughter, my oldest daughter is 14. In 2 years, she's going to be driving. In 4 years, she could be out of the house. You know, like my life's going to look really different and they still need me. And they need me fully engaged. Mm-hmm. So, like this year I'm taking like a baby step. She has a volleyball team and I'm like coaching this volleyball team that I love and it's so fun and it helps her. It serves. And I'm like, oh, this is fun. This is me getting to do something that's not mom related. All, you know, it's not snacks and wiping bottoms. It's like, I get to use a different skill set. It's really fun. So I'm taking steps and finding independence a little more each year, each day, but man, it is a tension. Being an eight, like I said, it feels like a real tug of war, but I refuse to sacrifice my family on the altar of like my ambition or my achievement. Like I'm not going to do that. So I have to be careful though, because you don't want to get resentful. You don't want to get angry. You know, I heard a quote too, where it was like, you know, sometimes our kids like feel those unresolved dreams or those unrealized dreams. Like I never want them to feel that pressure, but I do want to be true to who I am. So it's like, what does that look like? And for Derek and I, we're always having that conversation of, okay, what does it look like for me to take this time this week or, you know, have this, or, hey, I have this opportunity. You good with this? Yeah, great. Go for it. You know, he has yet to say no. To your point, kind of, it's just more realizing like, oh, I need help, you know? And when you were talking too, I thought, and maybe that's part of the deal is like, we think I should be able to do this all by myself. And it's like, there's no way. Yeah. There's no way. In his job, he has like an assistant. I'm like, I would love an assistant. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. You know? So I don't think that we're meant to be able to do it all by ourselves. And so then we feel like failures when we aren't able to or something, or like, I shouldn't take up this space. But anyways, I think that's kind of, I don't know if that really answers your question, but it's like.
So I'm going to get a little more personal. Yeah,
please do. Yeah, I'll take off my sweatshirt.
Yeah, because I'm diving in a little. And I,
Go for it.
I didn't read any of your.
I had a feeling you wouldn't, but just in case.
And I don't like to give tons of questions because I like to go, right? We like to go. But I want to ask you a little bit more because on the specifics of some changes. And you and I had a conversation ahead of time. So I'm not
whatever you want.
I'm not pushing her off the bridge right here. Like like we talked about it ahead of time.
We're friends, we're good.
So Courtney and I were doing a podcast together and it was great and it's good and she's got so much good. She's got so much good.
I was not great. Yes, I would barely like roll out of bed, put a bra on. I'd record from my closet. I would stumble over my words. It was not great.
Hey, you like, know, she was.
No, we weren't doing video at the time. So we all had our pajamas on sometimes. So. Yeah. Jackie's like, we're going to do video. I'm like, ugh, I have to dry shampoo my bangs.
As I said, we're going to do video. All of these girls like, are like,
yeah, Courtney's like,
I'm done. I'm done. And Julie's like, I got to get a light and makeup. And,
unbelievable.
But no, that there was so much value that you brought to the conversations that we had. But when we went for a walk and we were talking about the shifting of stuff and you were like, okay, I'm a mom. I've got all these things going on. I want to grow this. What does it look like? And we started to talk about, okay, in different seasons, we can hold different amounts of stuff. Right. And so in this season, of chasing, you had to make some adjustments.
Yeah.
So that you could be a part of your kids' lives.
Yeah.
Not just the feeding and caretaking, right. But like the recreational engaged. Part of their yeah. lives. Yeah. And also chase dreams as far as being an Enneagram coach and growing a business mm-hmm. and things like that. How hard was that as an Enneagram 8? How hard was that for you to make those adjustments as needed? And how, well, I guess yeah. it's was and is yeah. a good question.
Yeah, I think I feel like I had two things kind of working against me. The Enneagram 8s, tell me if I'm wrong, but I like to focus on things. Mm-hmm. I don't love, I get myself in trouble mm-hmm. when I have too many irons in the fire.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden I'm like, how did this happen? What have we done? And it's always me. By we, it's always me. So the focus piece is really tough for me. So it's like, I'm either best if I'm focusing here mm-hmm. or there, mm-hmm. not both. Mm-hmm. And then this is probably the bigger one though, is putting myself out there and actually taking mm-hmm. it seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's like this little side thing and you're a mom of four and it's like not a big deal. So if it fails or if it's not amazing, that's okay. Because like, who would expect that from you? And if you don't take it super seriously, then you're like, oh no, no harm, no foul. But when you actually put some steam behind it and some power behind it, and you really put yourself out, for me at least, I feel like you really put yourself out there. And I'm like, yeah, I'm trying this thing. And it isn't like I'm making sunscreen. Like you're not like, oh, I don't want the sunscreen. It's like me. It's like you're saying no to me or my skill set. This feels really vulnerable. So I don't love this right now. But so that was hard. Like taking it seriously and putting myself out there. And that was actually a really formative conversation because I was like, oh, I have kind of what you said. I have permission to take this seriously and to start small. Like take little steps now. The future Courtney in 5 years mm-hmm. will be like, oh, I'm so glad I did mm-hmm. this. You know, don't do all or nothing. Just do mm-hmm. what you can do now. And so that's mm-hmm. kind of what I'm trying to do now. Like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, get a website together. Do this. Post, mm-hmm. post regularly. You know, do just really normal person things that I was like, oh, that's not a big, I don't want to do that. You know, mm-hmm. I was resisting, but you really encouraged me on that. Like you can do stuff now. You don't mm-hmm. have to wait for 5 years or 10 years to just take little bite-sized, mm-hmm. you know, pieces right. of building a business.
Yeah. Thank you for being vulnerable. I know that was a hard question, but I think that people that are listening, they probably feel like you do, like mm-hmm. you did, like you do, mm-hmm. like I do, like Julie does, like all of us, we're trying to figure this thing out.
Yeah.
And our personalities do play a huge role in this. So for the Enneagram 8, they are big picture thinkers.
Totally.
So, and you've got a good old 7 wing in there. So you've got big picture visionary.
Totally.
So we're like chase dreams, drive, let's do it all. Right. And then what we forget about sometimes is that the 8 likes to delegate.
I love to delegate. So, it's my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. 8s want to delegate. So yep. oftentimes 8s, like that last 20%, that feels like quicksand for an
totally.
8. Where totally. Other people don't necessarily feel like that. The 8 does. They really, really want to delegate. The 7, they're really great planners and strategic thinkers, but they oftentimes need somebody to map it out. So you've got both of these pieces here where you want to delegate and you might need somebody to help map out the Absolutely. Big picture of it Absolutely. And then make it smaller. Yep. So, you know, and then all Enneagram numbers are different. There's going to be skill sets that each one brings to the table. And then there's also going to be parts of ourselves that it's like, how do we get out of our own way? Like, it's just hard. And I think that's the part, like, let's normalize that.
Yeah.
Like, yep. even if you are chasing dreams and you're a driver, you can't do it all
right.
without there being a cost somewhere. So exactly. if you chose to drive and run and chase and go, yep. the cost at this stage of life would be your children.
Absolutely.
It would be the house would probably be disaster. Mm-hmm. The kids' homework, who knows where it is. Meals, I don't know. Right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to figure this out. When I started this journey, I had to figure this out too. It was like, what do I need to take off my plate? And there's parts that Steve and I had conversations around. I'm like, I need help in this area. And he's like, okay, mm-hmm. what can, you know, if you can hire help in certain areas, then do right. that. If
what can he pick up? Yeah. What can we hire out?
Right. Yeah, if the totally. Kids can take over some of the chores, like there's a lot of things that had to happen and still have to happen
yeah.
for us to run at the pace that we run.
Totally.
And I think that that sometimes people on the outside of it, right, like, are like, oh,
how do you do it on
just that they just figure, and you're like, no, no, no,
this takes work.
This takes conversations and work and intentionality that it's different, because I wouldn't be able to get anything off the ground, and my husband chases everything.
Yeah.
And so if he was not intentional about coming back, the cost would be our family.
Yeah.
Like, beautiful life, right, but not present dad.
Totally.
So
totally.
There's lots of different dances around this. So I thank you for being vulnerable just about, you know, that part of your story, the shift and change. And I do think it's one of those things, the check-ins, having friends
totally
to have the conversations with.
Well, it legitimizes it, because when you're working by yourself in your little office or doing this thing, you're like, is this even a real thing? Am I even doing anything?
Right.
But when I talk to you, you take it seriously, where you're like, come on, like, what are you, not in a bad way, but you're like, come on, like, what are you doing? You can do better. Essentially, you can do better than this. You said it in a much kinder way, but it's like, yeah, you did. But it was like, oh yeah, I needed that, because nobody else in my life is gonna say that, because they don't know the ins and outs of starting a business when you are a mom who is trying their best to serve their family as well. And I think another piece to what you were sharing earlier too is like, it's almost like, if I can't do it all now, I don't know if I should do it, you know? And so it's like that, what you were saying, well, what does it look like to do, you know, get support and all these little things along the way. And knowing that that's success, that that's not failure. I think that was a hard thing for me too, to know that, ultimately, because I can see the big picture, ultimately that this is what I want. But realistically, I can like a couple inches this year, and that's okay. That's great success.
It is great success. It is. I've got my youngest are in ninth grade. Words are hard today. My youngest are in ninth grade. And so I think 4 years.
Yeah.
So when I'm thinking about what I'm doing right now in my life, I'm thinking about what I'm building for when they leave.
That's really good.
Now they might not leave. I get it. But most likely they're going to go to college and pursue careers and things like that. But I am thinking about what small steps today are going to help me achieve what I want it to look like.
Exactly.
Because if I wait 4 years, then some things I think are going to pass me by.
Totally.
And then other things, it's going to feel maybe even too hard. Like, you know,
I should have started that four years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
I just should have. But even in everything I'm doing, I can get really caught up in my mind too. And I have to take it back and slow down and make it smaller. And finish what I start, which is such a hard thing.
It is so hard. It is. But again, I think it's easy to focus on that, but it's like, but the strength is like, I can see the big picture and I'm not scared of working hard and getting things off the ground.
Yeah.
Like for a lot of people, that's paralyzing. And I'm like, okay, well, at least I can do that. I may not be great at the end. So be it. Like, and again, like I'm trying to work on self-compassion. So I was like, so be it. I'm not amazing at that, but like, who is? Who's great at everything? I've yet to meet somebody, you know, three's put on a pretty good show, but they would make you think that they can do everything. And most of them probably actually can. But like for me, okay, so I can't do that part. All right. Well, I'm aware of it. So I'll try really hard to finish it. You know, when we had that tough conversation, I was 18, I was all of 18. So, you know, there's no self-awareness, no nothing. But since then I actually have really tried, like, I really do try to be a responsible person and like do the things I need to do, to make sure that I don't lead that life where I just leave things undone and all that kind of stuff for other people to pick up.
Yeah. One of the things that I have found older in life that has helped me with the consistency piece, which is hard for me as a 7, because I'm always like, but we could do this and we could do this and let's chase this. And I'm kind of bored with that, you know? But one of the things that has made a huge, huge change in my life, and I had other friends kind of say this early on, but I couldn't do it early on, is the routine.
Yeah.
The consistency of routine. And I'm not talking, it's like, I go to bed the same time every day. I wake up the same time every day. I have my quiet time every morning. like, or 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, like I really close. Say,
like
yeah.
pretty close to every day, mm-hmm. unless like I had to take the kids to school this morning. But there is a consistent routine that that's familiar to me that allows me to be able to place what needs to happen yeah. inside those hours. That yeah. has been a huge help for me. And I know that sometimes that can feel like that's too constricting. I don't want to do that. I totally get it because I think I lived that for a really long time.
But you're like, and now I see the results of actually doing it.
Oh my gosh. I am at peace so much more. Like I just feel like I did what I said I was going to do. And I have a checklist by the end of the week. I have to have all these things done, which I just implemented that in the business side of what I do, which it wasn't for everybody else. It was for me.
Right.
Because I felt like I'm chasing things and I don't know. And I think I'm mad at people. Yeah. I'm like, I think I'm mad at people and it's actually me that didn't give them.
Why didn't you do?
Yeah.
Why you didn't get it from me? Sorry.
Yeah. So things like that. So chasing dreams. It is one of those things that I love to hear how people are doing it. We all do it differently. Yeah. There is not a right or wrong.
Yeah.
You know, Julie shared her story about how she's chased dreams and what it looks like for her a couple weeks ago. And that was neat to hear too. So I'm so proud of you. I love watching you do what you do. I love watching you be a mom and hold the tension of being a mom and starting a business and supporting a husband and being in ministry. You're doing a lot. You're doing a lot, girl, and I'm really proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's a long time ago, there's like this leadership book that talked about whether it's a problem to solve or a tension to manage. Mm. And it's like, actually, I much prefer solving problems. Mm. And then you're like, check, we're done. Mm-hmm. But these are like tensions to manage. Mm-hmm. You know, like how does mom still be a full person and have her own dreams and passions and show up well for everybody else in the family? So thank you. I appreciate that.
Courtney, what would you say the dream you're chasing today?
I want my kids to, when they have a choice down the road to hang out with me, like I want them to choose that because I want them to know, like, I love them. I like them. I'm a safe person. And I've shown up consistently for them, like year after year after year. So I'm doing the work now. I'm laying that groundwork now, hopefully, not perfectly, but I'm trying my best, you know, every day to do that. So that's a big one. And then, yeah, what is it? What is my career? What does my stuff look like? You know, so I'm trying to build a successful, you know, coaching practice, I think at some level. And it's been really fun. I remember we walk a lot apparently, because that's most of our conversations. It's probably like therapy. Like you get your body moving and you just start talking, but you know, it's like, how do I do this? And then I was a little discouraged because I'm like, maybe I'm not good at this. Maybe I'm not helping people. And truly, like, such a gift from the Lord. Like, since we've had that talk, like, I kind of was vulnerable and shared that. Clients have been like, thank you so much. I really appreciate what you're doing. I'm like, oh, okay. And it's not that you do that for that by any means, but it's good to know, like, oh, okay, I'm not screwing up your life here. Like, I actually do have something to offer, you know, because that's the lie. Or at least you probably, you've done this for so long, you probably don't have that. But the lie is like, oh, man, hold on. You could screw this whole thing up. You know, because I'm just over a year into this, but so that would be it, you know, that healthy family and then my own thing, whatever that looks like. You know, if there's a writing piece, if there's a speaking piece, if there's some other piece, you know, that has yet to be revealed. I would say the thing about that dream is like it's a little cloudy, but I know the right direction to move in, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that's the hope there.
I love that.
What is one piece of advice you'd give to all the dream chasers out there?
When I was in, I don't know, my 20s, like I thought my life would look totally different. Like I thought I would be corporate Courtney with like pointy shoes and cute clothes and like a pencil skirt maybe or something. And and that is not my reality. And so if I were like trying to white knuckle that, I would probably pay the price. My family would pay the price. So like letting go of dreams when it's appropriate in exchange or in hopes of a new, better dream that maybe fits more, that serves us well, that maybe is more true to who we are anyways. Because I mean, in my early 20s, did I really know who I was? Not really, but I knew that I wanted to be successful. Like that was at the core of that. Like I want to be successful at something. Whatever I do, I want to do a good job. Okay, well, I can do that without a pencil skirt and I can do that without pointy shoes and without sacrificing my family. Like I can still help people in a very meaningful way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for me, and I would say too, if you are a person like me, and like you, Jackie, who needs to dream, don't give up on that. Maybe find those people who you can dream with. If that's mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. your partner or like your best friend, like find someone who will encourage you mm-hmm. and push you to do mm-hmm. that, because yeah. otherwise they just kind of go inward and can kind of like become stale or almost die. And then a part of you is like, well, okay, I yeah. guess that's not welcome here.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for that safe space with you, because it's like, yeah, what about this? And you're like, oh yeah. Okay. Yes. Let's do this. Yeah, yeah. I love that. So
yeah. Like go find people that will celebrate, not tolerate.
Exactly.
And not all of our friends want to dream with us, and that's okay. And that doesn't mean we're tolerated. Yeah. It just means that those are not the friends that yeah. we necessarily want to bring our dreams to.
Totally.
But we do have people that see it and want to pull it out and say, I see greatness in you. Come on.
Yep.
The one part of the 8 personality that I love, probably because a 7 feels similar, is like, I want to make a really big impact yes. on the world.
Yep.
And I, like you, like, what I had envisioned in my 20s is not what I am doing today at all, mm-hmm. at all, not even the same, not at all. But it doesn't have to look a certain way to make a big impact in the world.
Totally. There's a lot of ways to do that.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways to make a big mm-hmm. impact. And so, I love that. That was mm-hmm. good advice.
Thank you. Thanks, yeah. friend.
Courtney, thank you so much for being here. And for those looking to find more about Courtney, you can find her at CourtneyBCoaching.com, on Instagram at CourtneyBCoaching. So check her out. She is an Enneagram coach as well as Jackie. So she's another great option if you guys are looking into that too.
Well, thank you. This was so fun. It was so good to see you again. The best.
And thank you for joining us today. Join us next time as we continue our conversation about the Enneagram and what it means for your relationships. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single episode. And while you're there, we'd love for you to leave a review. Your kind words help others find the show. For more great Enneagram content, resources, and individual coaching, you can visit EnneagramWithJB.com. And while you're there, make sure to order Jackie's newest book, The Enneagram and Your Marriage. We'll see you next time on Enneagram with JB.